Well, we've been stressing the idea that we want to become more and more godly. And we talked about recognizing the enemies of that godliness and spent some time talking about those enemies. And we never want to be in a position where we succumb to those enemies. We also talked about the fact that it's possible for us to overcome. And that's the joy that we all feel. It's the release from those things that want to grab us, that want to pull us away from God. And in general, what we said was that this is all going to depend on recognizing what God is doing for us. Colossians, the first chapter, beginning at verse 21. Although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, that's the barriers to developing the godliness that we want, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Indeed, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. We can be released. How do we do that? I promised that we would talk about some practical things that will help us to be released from pride, from hostility, from all of those things that keep us from pointing our lives consistently to God. So let's talk about some of those this morning. Deuteronomy 3, beginning at verse Deuteronomy 31, beginning at verse 9. This is what Moses did. He, of course, was leading the children of Israel. And in Deuteronomy, Moses knows that he's going to be dying soon. And so this is his summation of everything that he wanted them to know that was going to bring them into the land that God had promised them. Now, he's been with them. They've had hard times. There were times when they didn't respect God, but they always returned. Anyway, this is what it says. Moses wrote this law. He delivered it to the priests and to the sons of Levi that bear the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the set time of the year of release, remember, this was the year of Jubilee. Every 7 years, the Jews were to celebrate their release from Egyptian bondage, and they would celebrate their release from everything that weighed down upon them because they had the Sabbath year. Nothing was planted in that year. So you didn't have to worry about harvest. In the time of release, he says, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel has come to appear before Jehovah thy God, the place that he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Moses wrote this down, gave it to his emissaries. He said, every 7 years, call all of Israel together and read this law. Assemble the people, the men, the women, the little ones, thy sojourner that is within thy gates, that they may hear, that they may learn and fear Jehovah your God and observe to do all the words of his law. And their children who have not known may hear and learn to fear Jehovah as long as you live in the land whither you go over the Jordan to possess it. They were to have a group meeting, and they were to read what Moses had written down. That's important. Psalms 1 at verse 1. The psalmist David is talking about the law of God, what Moses had written down. He said, I want you to go and read it to all the people. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of Jehovah. And on his law doth he meditate day and night. It's not enough just to read it. We have to think about it. You didn't go to the assembly, listen to the priests read the law, and then feel like you had discharged your responsibility. You had to meditate on it. You had to think about it. You had to actually ponder what this meant. Then in John 1 at verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So it will be read. You meditate on it, and then you speak it. You really want to learn something. If you want to make something real to yourself, you have to speak it. I think everybody who has in any way taught understands that one of the best ways to internalize the information that you're given is to teach it to somebody else, to speak it. Second Peter, the first chapter, at verse 3. Seeing then that his divine power has granted unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us by his glory and virtue. There is the knowledge of the law, and I realize that it's the word that tells us about what Jesus did. But there's also a knowledge about Jesus. A recognition of who he is and what he did and does. We have to have a knowledge of him. We have to be aware of what he did and what he does. And then finally, and maybe this is the most important part of it. Let everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely when the great waters overflow, they shall not reach unto him. We need to pray. We need to be constant in prayer. You cannot serve two masters. Prayer is the statement that we will serve God. So what do we say in terms of a takeaway? I want to defeat these enemies of godliness. I don't want them to overtake my life. I don't want to be beaten down by them. I don't want to be in a position that I separate myself from God. I want to grow into godliness. Every day I want to focus myself more intently on my God. So I use the word. I listen to it. I meditate on it. And I speak it. Now, let me just stop here for just a minute. There are some parts of the word that just need to be listened to. I don't know if you're like me, but I every time I listen to somebody else read the word, it's like I learn something just because of the way that their voice goes when they're reading the word. The spoken word, even when you're reading what somebody else has written, is important. Some parts of the Bible just need to be heard. And then, I'll be honest, there are some parts of the Bible that aren't meant to be heard. We've been reading through the Old Testament. Most of us are really excited that we've gotten through the book of Exodus, and we're not reading all of those laws. That's not a part of the Bible that you need to listen to. It's like, wherefore, in subpart A, when subpart B does not apply, and subpart C then is going to control your activity. It's like trying to read the IRS code. You know, you're not going to get it if you listen to it. It's just not going to work that way. You have to read it. Some parts of the word you listen to. Some parts of the word you read. But we listen to the reading of the word. We meditate on it. And we speak the word. We're going to have to use the word. That's what's going to be the key. I have to tell you, I'm disappointed when I walk around the auditorium. My office is down here, so I come down here, and when I get stumped and I kind of get writer's block, I walk around in the auditorium. I make a little figure eight and I go like this. It's depressing, the number of people that own Bibles and leave them here. That's not where it needs to be. Now, I know that most of us read the Bible on our device. I read the Bible on my phone. In fact, someone came in and wanted to borrow a Bible from me. I went in the office. I didn't have one. They're all in boxes. I read the Bible on my phone, and I read it on the computer. I understand that. But let's not leave our Bibles, our phones, or our tablets, or our computers untouched from Sunday to Sunday. We need to develop a deep personal knowledge of God. That's one of the things that's so striking about the Psalms. When David talks about God, he always talks about what God has done in his life. It's not somehow distant. There's an article in the bulletin this morning that talks about how God is referred to in the book of Ecclesiastes by the name Elohim. That's the creative God. And sometimes when we think about the creative God, it's really distant from us. God who created, who really doesn't interact with us. That's not what we're going to see when we look at Ecclesiastes. So develop a personal knowledge of God and pray. I can't tell you how important it is to pray every day, not just when you sit down to eat dinner, not just when you go to bed, although those are good times to pray. But we need to pray. And if we don't do that, then we won't beat these adversaries down. But we can. Well, we know that people want to devote themselves to God. If you're here today and you have not devoted yourself to God, if you have not said, God is going to be my king, I want to put on Jesus in baptism, we want to help you. It may be that you put Jesus on in baptism and you let these adversaries come in and strip him away from you. Return to God. pray and ask for his forgiveness. Rededicate yourself to him. And we want to help you do that. We'll pray with you. But we want you to think about these things.